to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined, as we have the privilege of being each week, by Diana West, a syndicated columnist and best-selling author, a pundit extraordinaire. She is, among other things, brought to us the terrific book, American Betrayal, A Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. You can find her writings at dianawest.net, and you can catch her each week here at Secure Freedom Radio. Welcome back, Diana. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be back.
You know, you've been tracking closely and writing on and, in fact, reporting with friends of ours in Europe who are confronting in various ways a very palpable threat from enemies of freedom, most of whom, at least, make no secret of their desire to impose the Islamic supremacist doctrine of Sharia over all of us. And I just wanted to talk with you quickly, Diane, about some examples of what's happening in Europe today and whether this might be headed our way as well. Let me start with reports out of Denmark that gangs are now enforcing Sharia law in parts of that country. Again, this has been building for some time, but the Nordic countries aren't where you'd exactly think you'd be confronting this problem. But it seems that we are. What's happening there?
Well, this has been happening for a long time, and now we are seeing a ramping up of the blatant enforcement of Sharia norms in Danish neighborhoods where they can be by using street gangs to essentially run the old-fashioned protection rackets. You know, you do it our way or else. And this is a reality. This is just but one example of the flexing of Islam really in Europe as we see Sharia being implemented. And I think that in terms of whether we will see this here, I think it's really important to understand we're looking at very tiny Islamic populations in European countries. They are a larger percentage than they are in the United States. And yet, and these countries, of course, are smaller. So we're looking at a more concentrated presence of everyone in the country. But we're looking at something like 2% of the Danish population, 3%, 3.5% of the British population. I mean, these are very small percentages. And so what they do tell us is that the proponents of Sharia, the people who really want to see an Islamic republic in every single nation in the world, they are given cover and power by very small percentages, very small Islamic blocs.
It's a critically important point because it really does impress upon all of us how this happens, even with the numbers of people perpetrating these kinds of crimes or assaults on our Western civilization being tiny. Diana, let me turn to another Nordic country with another particularly egregious practice taking place there. Again, I think in the nature of this effort to force the native population to submit, and that is the practice of rape by these jihadists. What do we know about how that's manifesting itself, both in Sweden and I think probably elsewhere in Europe as well, but particularly in Sweden at the moment?
Again, you can track this with the incursions of, or the presence, or the entry of Islamic demographics into countries like Sweden. Sweden has seen a skyrocketing of rape with a skyrocketing of Islamic immigration. I mean, the numbers track very, very closely. And this becomes a tool. We see this in war-torn countries like Congo or something, where rape is used as a tool to make a population terrorized. I mean, it is the most brutal kind of act of conquest, and we are seeing that in Sweden. We've been seeing it for some time. It is something that people don't want to talk about. They don't want to attach it to the prevalence among the Islamic men that are in their country.
Diana, moving right along, because there are several other pieces of this that I want to just ask you to touch on. In France, there are now, by latest estimate I have, something on the order of 780 no-go zones, as they're called, that are formally recognized by the government of France as places that the authorities of the country may not enter as a practical matter. They're being subjected, these areas, predominantly Muslim, of course, to Sharia, despite the violation of the laws of the land. Is this a unique phenomenon in France, or are we seeing it elsewhere as well?
Oh, we're seeing it all over Europe. The French may codify it in a way that we have more easier access to, but no, this is prevalent in all the European nations. Speaking of Sweden, you have pretty much the city of Malmo under some kind of Islamic jurisdiction. This is what happens. This is how the enclaves are carved out. This is how the Sharia zones are established. First, it's de facto. We look at England. Now we see, de jure. We see acceptance of Sharia in many legal instances, Sharia courts.
No, I was going to come to that. We actually have some 87, I think it is, Sharia courts that operate side by side with English common law. And we have a new book coming out momentarily from the Center on Sharia in American courts as well. But this is really, a sort of canary in the mineshaft. And Diana, you've been working closely with Lars Hedegaard and others in Europe who are, not least Geert Wilders, the parliamentarian in the Netherlands, on the forefront of the fight for freedom of speech in these countries. Talk a little bit about what's happening on that front.
Well, this week, Geert Wilders, the parliamentary leader of the Party for Freedom, which is at this point, according to the polls, the number one party in the Netherlands, he was actually brought in for interrogation for a campaign speech that he gave in one of the last cycles, where he was discussing the prevalence of Moroccans, and he asked his people if they wanted more or less Moroccans, more or less freedom, more or less European Union, that kind of thing. And the concept of discussing more or less Moroccans brought him up into court. And the reason Moroccans
Not for the first time.
And the Moroccans are a very important thing to discuss in the Netherlands because the prevalence of crime in that particular population exceeds all others. This is a real problem. And when you're trying to control your borders, which is something that Geert Wilders presses as absolutely the answer or certainly the starting point of trying to reclaim Netherlands and to preserve the identity of Netherlands so it does not become an Islamic country, controlling your borders becomes the only means to really do this in any kind of effective way. And talking about the small numbers of Muslims in a population that can lead to Sharia norms, it becomes very important that immigration becomes really your leading tool. It isn't so much about dropping bombs on pickup trucks thousands of miles away in a mountaintop. It's about controlling who comes into your country to live and establish a new way of life that, yes, is antithetical to everything that has developed there constitutionally, religiously, and culturally.
This is the jihad, really, that's taking place at home in these countries, the Hijra, jihad through immigration. And again, it brings us to our own circumstance, Diana West, syndicated columnist, dianawest.net. We've got a very similar set of phenomena. They're not as far advanced. The population numbers may not be as substantial in a much larger country like ours, but yet is it an exaggeration to say this is what's coming here if these Sharia-adherent Muslims have their way?
Oh, I think it's absolutely no exaggeration. I think it's an understatement. I think that the predicament we find ourselves in is that so few people, you accepted, but so few people, and certainly in the media where it's absolutely essential, and certainly in the political sphere where it's even more essential because that's where the power is, will not discuss these things, will not face them. There is almost a clamp on their mouths, which even though we have a First Amendment, it's really shocking and I think in many ways shameful. In Europe, they do not have a First Amendment. Geert Wilders and Geert Wilders himself can be dragged off to court for saying things that this would not happen in the United States. And yet, our lawmakers, our media, tend to keep their mouths shut and they just want it to go away.
Yeah, we've had the former Secretary of State and putative Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton talking about using old-fashioned techniques of shaming and peer pressure to essentially, circumvent or abrogate, really, the First Amendment here. Diana West, what you do is so important. Thank you for notably your columns each week, but also, of course, your wonderful book, American Betrayal. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week. We'll look forward to talking with the rest of you again, I hope, tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.